Being the biggest loser can be good, or it can be bad. Which are you? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter, and what people tend to do with this chapter is they just look at it like it was Paul one day writing an ode to love, a poem about love, and it's just so wonderful and so flowery and just, it's great for a coffee mug and for some kind of plaque on the wall from 1 Corinthians 13. But when it's in context and you know what's going on in the church, this is a stinging rebuke to these people that you have missed the boat on what church is all about. And if you miss love, you've missed the main thing.
He can heal every scar.
The greatest commandment is for us to love God, and the second greatest commandment is for us to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we miss love, we miss the main thing, because that's what it's all about. If love is not motivating our actions, then it means nothing. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today he begins a brand new 5-message series that'll take a deeper look at the importance of loving God and loving others through a chapter in the Bible that's often referred to as the love chapter. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, whether you're a Christian, non-Christian, agnostic, or atheist, everyone is interested in this thing called love. But what does God have to say about it? We'll be in this series for the next couple of weeks, so if you miss any of the lessons, be sure to go to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab to catch up. Now, though, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin the lesson called The Biggest Loser.
If you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're starting a new series today called The Greatest of These is Love. It's from one of the most notable passages in all the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a passage dealing with love. Now, every person, Christian, non-Christian, agnostic, atheist, they're all interested in this thing called love. It's interesting when you do a quick search of popular songs with love in the title. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs. You know, we like to sing about love. The Beatles had a song, All You Need Is Love. You remember that song, All You Need Is Love? The Queen had a song that's very popular called Crazy Little Thing Called Love. Elvis sang a song called I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Tina Turner sang a song, What's Love Got to Do with It? Remember that one? Foreigner had a song, I Want to Know What Love Is. They didn't know what it was. The Jay Giles Band had a song, Love Stinks. You remember that one? Huey Lewis and the News. They had a song, The Power of Love. It was the theme song to the movie Back to the Future. And how about this song from Meatloaf? I'd do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that. And then Whitney Houston had I Will Always Love You. So lots of songs with love. I found this one. I'd never heard of the group before. It was called The Storm. But they had this statement in their love song. I've got a lot to learn about love. And I think that would be true for most of us, that we have a lot to learn about love. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter, and it is read at many, many weddings. And what people tend to do with this chapter is they pull it out of context, and they just look at it like it was Paul one day writing an ode to love, a poem about love. And it's just so wonderful and so flowery and just, it's great for a coffee mug and for some kind of plaque on the wall from 1 Corinthians 13. And for sure, when you get married, you want somebody to read from 1 Corinthians 13 because it's about love. And we miss the context of what was going on when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13. It's not separated from the rest of 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul spent 18 months in Corinth in the 50s AD, early 50s. And Paul had founded this church, and it was that many people had given their lives to Christ, and the church began. But the church had problems, lots of problems. And they had problems with division in the church because they had their favorite pastor. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I hear that there are divisions among you. And some say, I am of Apollos, and I am of Paul, and I am of Cephas. Cephas is another name for Peter. And that's who they followed. And they had these divisions. And Paul said, wait, what are you doing? Paul wasn't crucified for you. Jesus was. And so they had a problem with that. They had problems with jealousy. They had problems with strife. They had problems with pride. They had problems with sexual immorality in the church. Paul says in chapter 5 or 6, right around in there, he said, there, you have immorality in the church that's so gross, one man has taken his stepmother to be his wife. I mean, he said the pagans don't even do that. That is just incest, and you're letting it happen in the church. All sorts of issues, problems with the Lord's Supper. People were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper had something so special and sacred to God, they had turned it into a mockery, and God had to start killing some of them because of their irreverence at the Lord's Supper. But one of the big problems in the church had to do with spiritual gifts. And the people were all hot to trot about spiritual gifts that they thought were really, wow, that you speak in tongues, wow, you have the gift of miracles, wow. And they had all these sign gifts that the Lord had given that they really elevated up here. And then if you didn't have that, you would say, well, I don't have a good gift. I have a crummy spiritual gift. I didn't get anything good for Christmas from the Lord. That was kind of their attitude. And these other people that had these more showy gifts, they would be up there kind of superior to them. And so it was all kinds of problems. So Paul was writing about spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. And he goes and talks about it in chapter 12 and chapter 14. Sandwiched in there between his discussion on spiritual gifts has to do with love. And what is he saying? He's saying, you guys are missing what this is all about. And so he spends 13 verses talking about love. He says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And so in chapter 13, verse 1, here's how he begins this great portion of scripture. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, when you pull it out of context, it just sounds, oh, this is just so wonderful. But when it's in context and you know what's going on in the church, this is a stinging rebuke to these people that you have missed the boat on what church is all about. Warren Wiersbe says this, love is the circulatory system of the Christian life. Everything is about love in the Christian life. Because God loves us, as the scripture says, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And the greatest commandment is for us to love God. And the second greatest commandment is for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you miss love, you've missed the main thing, because that's what it is about. So today, let's look at three truths in these verses that I read, three truths concerning love. And here's the question, do you realize the importance of love in our walk with Jesus? Truth number one, agape love is the highest love, the highest love. Agape love is the word that is used, the Greek word that is used in chapter 13, used 8 times and referred to, when it says love is this, it is this, it is this, it is this, it's referred to over and over and over again. And the word agape, that's used throughout the New Testament, hundreds and hundreds of times. Agape is the noun, agapeo is the verb. And it's used over and over and over again in Scripture. And that is a different word that the Greeks had to designate the highest kind of love, because they had several different words that they used. We just have love. We use love for lots of things. I love the Texas Longhorns, which we all would agree to. You know, or I love ice cream, which most of us should agree to that too. I love pizza. I love this. I love that. Well, I love my wife. What, do you love your wife like you love pizza? Well, depends. You know, I mean, not really. You know, we just have one word. They had many words for love. The one that's used a lot in Greek literature is the Greek word for love called eros, E-R-O-S. We got our English word erotic from the Greek word eros. That's a sexual love. That's a romantic love, but that's a love that you want to get something from someone in a sexual way. And so they would talk about eros as a type of love. The Bible never uses the word eros in it. There's also the word phileo. Phileo is a brotherly love. Phileo, we get our city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the city of brotherhood. And then you have a Greek word storge. Storge is family love. That's a natural affection type of love that you just have. You're born into the family and you have this natural affection toward mom, toward dad, toward brother, toward sister. That's storge. And that's real tight. That's a tight-knit kind of love, because if you're not in the family, I don't storge you. But then there's agape. Agape is the highest kind of love. So what exactly is agape love? Because that is what the Bible talks about over and over and over again. Well, it is not a love that takes. Eros is a love that takes. Eros sees and wants to take. Good example of that would be David's son Amnon, who fell in love, really fell in lust with his half-sister Tamar. And he ends up, 2 Samuel chapter 13, ends up devising a plan where he can be alone with Tamar, and then he grabs her and he rapes her. And then the scripture says that he loved her, but after he raped her, then he hated her with a hatred that was greater than the love that he had for her. Because he just had eros love. He just wanted to be with her, and once he was with her, he threw her out like the trash. Hey, agape love is not a love that takes. It's also not a love that gives when conditions are right. See, phileo love is kind of like a give and take love. And if you give to me, you're good to me, then I'm good to you, then you're good to me, then I'm good to you. And it's a give and take kind of thing. We have a lot of relationships like that that are give and take. Now, agape is not a give and take love. It's not a love that takes. It's not a love that gives and takes. It's a love that gives. It's God's kind of love, a love that gives, a love that gives without conditions. Because that's how God loves us. He loves us without conditions. And let me just say this, if God did not love us without conditions, he wouldn't love us at all. Because you don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve God's love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, we weren't doing anything that we weren't calling out to God, God, come save us. He saved us while we were yet sinners. He saved us when we were shaking our fist in his face. He saved us when we didn't want anything to do with him. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so agape love is a love that gives regardless, the highest kind of love. And it's a love that we're commanded to practice. That is Christian love. Jesus said, John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment, he said this at the Last Supper, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another even as I have loved you. That's how we're supposed to love people, the way he loves us, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus would tell the disciples, love your enemies. Well, good night, Lord. How do you do that? That's hard to do, to love your enemies. Yeah, you're supposed to love your enemies. We're commanded to love like that because that's how people know that you are his disciples. Somebody has this definition for agape love. It's a deep concern for the well-being of another that impacts one's actions into selfless service and self-sacrifice. That's agape love. God had self-sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, it's one thing to love your family with storge love. Talking to a room full of people online, people in the gym and or in the atrium and infusion. I mean, many of us have a love for our family. But how about a love outside the family? How about a love for people different from you? How about a love for people who don't like you? That is difficult. So agape is the highest kind of love. Second truth, those who operate without agape love miss the goal of it all. They miss the goal of the Christian life. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:5, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That's the goal. That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love me with all your heart, to have the vertical relationship right, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, to have the horizontal relationship right. Those are the two great commandments. On these two commandments, he said, hang the whole law and the prophets. And if you miss the love vertically and then horizontally, you've missed it. I don't care what else you do. The letter to the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, the Lord says, well, you do this well, you do that well, you do this other well, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. Your horizontal relationship with me is not what it's supposed to be. And so because you've left your first love, everything is going to start falling apart from there. You need to repent and get back to your first love. And so we have to always maintain our vertical relationship with God so that it can spill over and create a good horizontal relationship with others, with brothers and sisters in the Lord, and with those that don't like us. And so those who operate without love, they miss the goal of it all. Now, in context, these people in Corinth, they were practicing their spiritual gifts, which was a good thing. Spiritual gifts are God's gift to us to further the growth of the church. 1 Corinthians 12 gives you a list of spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12 gives you a list of spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about gifts that God has given to the church. And so God gives these gifts, these supernatural empowerings from his Spirit so that we can do things in the church and so that we can grow up the church and build up the body of Christ. But these people were taking their spiritual gifts and they were looking at them like they were things to be coveted. And you have this gift and I don't have this gift. And I'm not as good as you are because you have this gift and I don't have this gift. And then if you had this gift, especially the tongues, that was the big one for them. They got all hung up in tongues. And people today get hung up in tongues. What is the purpose of tongues? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, tongues are for a sign, not to believers, but to unbelievers. And the first time we read about tongues is in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the Lord sent his Holy Spirit. And the people received God's Spirit into their hearts, into their lives. And how was that manifest? By speaking in tongues. And the tongues they spoke in, very clear from Acts chapter 2, was a language. A language that they didn't know, that they hadn't learned, that all of a sudden now they're speaking in this language. And the people who knew that dialect, they heard. And all of a sudden they say, wow, are not these people Galileans? How are they speaking in our native tongue? They don't know that language. They don't know the language of my native tongue. They're Galileans, and Galileans were like, you're a hick from the sticks if you lived in Galilee. And so all of a sudden they hear, and what are they hearing? They're hearing them proclaim the mighty deeds of God. So tongues are languages. That's the only thing that we read about in Scripture. It's a language. And tongues are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Now, what people have today, and no doubt what had seeped into the church at Corinth, was a language that wasn't a real language. It was some kind of what people call today a prayer language. Well, it's just a prayer language. But you don't read, there is nothing in Scripture that tells about a prayer language. It tells about tongues that's a language. And so they were having all this stuff to the point where someone would get up in church and he would supposedly speak, and the interpretation was cursing Jesus. And Paul says, no one can speak by the Spirit of God and say Jesus is accursed. You're not hearing from God. That is from the enemy that would do that. And so everything was getting twisted and polluted. And here's the point. Spiritual gifts are tools to be used in love. They're not toys. And they're never for one's own personal edification. The gifts are given for the common good. And so if God gives somebody the gift of teaching, it's not just for that person who has the gift of teaching. It's to share that gift, to be a blessing. And so they were using their gifts as toys, not tools, and they weren't operating their gifts out of love. And so this is what he has to say. The most gifted person is a loser without love. And Christians, no doubt in Corinth, you had a lot of Christians. They live like that, and you miss love. You stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and he tests the quality of your work with fire. And all that you see, all that you did, all that you gave, is wood, hay, and straw, and it burns up, and you have nothing. Without love, I have nothing. I am nothing. I gain nothing.
Now, that's strong language from Scripture, and not something that the world or pop psychology will tell you today. If you do not know the love of Jesus Christ, if you don't know him in your heart, in a real and a personal way, we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link, where you can learn what it really means to love God and how to put that into practice. You'll learn how to surrender it all to him and see your life change for now and for eternity. Again, that's fromhisheart.org. Click the Why Jesus link. Whether you're a Christian, a non-Christian, or an agnostic or an atheist, everyone is interested in this thing called love. God dedicated an entire chapter in the Bible to love. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the love chapter. The problem is, we often pull it out of context and bypass the truth of what Paul was trying to communicate. Today, we heard part one of this message called The Biggest Loser from Pastor Jeff's new 5-message series, The Greatest of These is Love, where he takes a deep verse-by-verse look at this love chapter to discover what real love really looks like. We believe it'll help you in your relationship with God and others. It's our thanks for your gift to From His Heart this month of any amount. It's available on a USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or as an immediate MP3 download. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request The Greatest of These is Love when you make your gift. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that you'll be back here tomorrow for part two of this insightful first lesson in the new series, Greatest of These is Love. Join us on Tuesday as we conclude the message, The Biggest Loser, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.